And I love this last part. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. I'm okay up until verse 52. I'm like, yeah, buddy, boy, that was something. I'd have been like totally rocked. You know, my cage would have been totally rattled, dude. And then verse 52, though, they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Whoa, wait a minute. Who are you talking about? As Vodi would say, are you smelling what I'm stepping in? Verse 52, man, what is up with verse 52? I'm okay to 51. 52 challenges me. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. It didn't click. And what's worse, it didn't click because their hearts were hard. Ouch. That, of all the wild things in this account, that one thing is the thing that blows my mind the most. Now, it says, they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. They marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves. First of all, what do the loaves have to do with walking on water? Okay? Last time I checked, there's nothing about bread in this passage, is there? You see any loaves in here? I don't see any loaves. What the heck is he talking about loaves? What's up with the loaves? They saw somebody walking on the water. They got amazed by that, but their heart was hardened. They didn't understand about the bread. What is up with that? You know, the clarity is just, you know, amazing me at this point. The last time I checked, that was not a part of this story. It was a part of the last one. And yet, it says that the reason they were amazed at Jesus walking on the water was because of the loaves experience. Isn't that what it says? The reason they were amazed is because they didn't learn from the loaves experience. And the reason they didn't learn was because their heart was hard. In other words, that was not open to the truth. It didn't penetrate their understanding. There was a callousness. There was a hardness where the truth didn't enter in and change them. Now, the Bible tells us this not so we can sit back in judgment on the disciples in our comfortable little, you know, easy chair and say, what a bunch of maroons. That's not why it tells us this, so we can laugh at the disciples and say, boy, what a bunch of lugs, man. If they had any spirituality, they would have got this stuff like us. The reason the Bible tells us this is because we are so prone to the same condition. We are so prone to that same attitude. And it's talking to us about them because it wants us to understand about us. Amen? Whoa. And he wants us to learn about the loaves. And he wants us to learn about the guys in the boat so that our heart is not hard, but so that our heart is open to the most amazing, mind-blowing truth that God wants to impart to us today. And this is what I believe he wants us to learn from this particular event. Four things. Number one, are you ready? Are you sure? Number one, Jesus sees us. Say that with me. Jesus sees us. Jesus sees us in our situation. That's easy to remember. Jesus sees us in our situation. Now, verse 47. Yeah. When the evening came, where was the boat? Middle of the sea. Where was Jesus? Alone on the land. Where was the boat? Where was Jesus? On the land. Now, that's kind of bad because they weren't supposed to be in the middle of the sea. They were going across the north edge of the sea. If you had a big, you know, splatter of water up there that was the Sea of Galilee, they were like cutting across from left to right. They were going across the top edge, the northern edge. Very most, they should have been a mile out. Maybe two if it was really bad. 3 to 4 miles out, according to the Gospel of John. They were in the middle of the sea. The wind had blown them. Instead of cutting across the top, the wind had literally blown them out into the middle of the sea. That is bad. Okay? They were rowing, it was blowing, and they were going nowhere. Now, Jesus, there they're in the middle of the sea, Jesus is alone on the land, and yet it says in verse 48, then he did what? He saw them. Where are they? Where is he? And he did what? He saw them. Whoa! Now, we know that Jesus did all of his miracles as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm sure, I don't know exactly, I'm sure at that time, in that place, it was done by some sort of vision imparted to him from the Holy Spirit. God gave him a revelation. Maybe he saw it in his mind's eye. Maybe he somehow, you know, he got that revelation from God. But right now, he is no longer simply a man. He is the risen, resurrected Lord of glory. He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He rules and reigns, and his name is above every name. And God is putting all things under his feet. So right now, he not only saw them, he sees us. Not simply as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, he sees us as the Lord of glory. Though he be far removed in one sense at the very throne of God, in the midst of our yuck and muck, he sees us. When we are being blown off track by all the winds and the attacks of the enemy, as we are spent after straining all night with our own self-effort to fight against the storms that the enemy has sent into our life to try to destroy us and make us ineffective, as we have struggled and rowed against that and spent ourselves to the point of utter exhaustion and almost to the point of despair, I believe God wants us to know that he sees us. He has not lost track of us. The good shepherd does not lose track of his sheep. The bridegroom does not lose track of his bride. He saw them straining against the waves. We might feel like God has lost track of us. Have you ever felt that way? Somehow he just got maybe a little busy doing other things, and somehow our life just like, whoa. And we feel like orphans. And we're like, God, where are you? He may seem distant, but the good shepherd never, everybody say never. The good shepherd never loses track of his sheep. He saw them. Know this, he sees you. He sees you also. And he doesn't just see you. He sees you and is so moved by what he sees that number two, Jesus comes to us. He doesn't just see us and wring his hands and wish he could do something. He doesn't just see us and say, well, man, I hope you learn a little lesson from this, because if you get a little bit more spiritual, you'll be able to deal with this. He doesn't just see us and callously sit back, uncaring and unmoved by our predicament and by our suffering. He sees us, and he sees us in such a way that he comes to us. He then comes to us. It says in verse 48, now about the fourth watch of the night, he did what? Came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. The actual more literal rendering of that is he was endeavoring to come alongside of them, passing them on the side, passing them by, coming alongside. He comes to us. He tracks us down. There is no storm that can separate us from our God. He comes. He's not put off by the wind or the waves or the ugliness or the stench or the confusion or the embarrassment. He's not put off by our shame. He's not put off by the things that cause us to want to withdraw and isolate from the world and from the people we love. He's not put off by the storm. The storm does not intimidate Him. He comes walking on the waves of the storm in the very midst of the tempest and the wind and the ugliness. He comes to us walking on that. Now, there's some things we should notice here. When did He come to them? The fourth watch. I guess they weren't wearing Timex, you know. Peter's watch gave out. John's watch gave out. You know. No. And by the fourth watch. Actually, they divided the night into four watches. From 6 to 3. I'm sorry, 6 to 3. From 6 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock in the evening was the first watch. From 9 to 12 was the second watch. From 12 to 3 in the morning was the third watch. Between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning was the fourth watch. They'd been battered by those waves a long time, hadn't they? They were rowing and struggling and fighting for their lives for a long time. It had been a long night. It didn't come when the sun began to set. He didn't come even at midnight. He didn't even come at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. He came in the fourth watch, somewhere right before dawn, when they had been struggling and rowing for their lives all night long. God will patiently allow us to struggle in our own self-effort, to struggle in our own strength, as long as we want to do it, all night long. As we try to use our wisdom and our talents and abilities and our resources and our gumption, sometimes our, what's the word for that? Stubbornness, our self-will, we're not going to be beat by this. We're going to rise above this storm, boy. Even you thought about putting a storm, wait, you don't put no storm on me. And He will allow us to fight in the strength of our own self-effort all night long, until we're blown out into the middle of the sea.